We are now 7 weeks away from Election Day in a very unusual presidential campaign. But one thing is for sure, many Americans will, as they often do, vote on economic issues. President Trump had this to say at that rally in Nevada over the weekend.
We will rapidly return to full employment, soaring economies, and record prosperity. We will expand opportunity zones, and we will continue cutting taxes and regulations at a level that nobody has ever seen before.
Former Vice President Joe Biden spoke about his tax plan on ABC News last month.
I will raise taxes for anybody making over $400,000. Let me tell you why I'm going to do it. It's about time they start paying a fair share of the economic responsibility we have. The very wealthy should pay a fair share.
Let's talk tax plans with Derek Thompson, staff writer at The Atlantic, who joins us from Washington, as he does each Monday. Derek, let's start with President Trump. We heard him there promise more tax cuts. We remember the president's more than $1 trillion tax cuts back in 2018, which have ballooned the deficit and did not pay for themselves as promised. What is the president promising this time when it comes to taxes?
So I think it's very important to make clear that President Trump's corporate income tax plan was, or tax law, was the singular legislative achievement of his first term. It did cut taxes for many families. It slashed long-term rates on corporate income. That was a huge and very real law. What he's talking about now on the campaign trail is not huge, and it's not necessarily real either. It's not clear, indeed, that the GOP has any firm tax plans for a second Trump term beyond protecting the corporate income tax law that was passed several years ago. In fact, famously, the Republican platform published before the RNC took place famously had no policies attached to it. So, yes, it is the case that Trump is, you know, going around and he's using the words tax and plan in sentences on the campaign trail. But I don't consider those utterances to be literal tax plans. The plan is to protect what is already law.
Mm-hmm. And we remember, of course, that the tax plan that he did make into a law was done with the help of both a Republican House and a Republican Senate. And he does not currently have a Republican controlled House of Representatives. The president also has been talking about opportunity zones. We heard that a couple of minutes ago, a tax break for investors who invest in certain low income communities. The program has had mixed results. What is the president saying about opportunity zones?
Again, you know, he's talking about protecting opportunity zones. He's talking about expanding them, but it's not entirely clear, as you just said, that there's going to be much enthusiasm for expanding Republican tax plans if Democrats keep the House, which is very likely no matter what happens with the White House and the Senate. Opportunity zones are interesting. You know, it's a way to funnel money to lower income areas that are designated by the government so that they are they get essentially capital gains tax breaks over the next decade. It's a fine idea. I think it's way too early to tell if it's working. But geographic inequality is a thorny problem, and it is an important arrow that belongs in the quiver.
We heard Vice President Biden talking about raising taxes on people making more than $400,000 a year. What do we know about his tax plan?
There are a lot of little details in Joe Biden's tax plan. Unlike the Republican platform before the RNC, there are a lot of line items in Biden's tax plan. It basically comes down to this. Biden's plan would raise taxes on people earning more than $400,000, as he said in that clip that you just played, and it would increase the top corporate tax rate from 21% to 28%. That's a little bit lower than where it was before Trump cut it. Again, I think it's important to talk about the Senate and the House, as you did under Trump. The same way that Trump is not necessarily going to get it, going to be able to get anything done if he doesn't have a Democratic House. If Democrats win the White House but don't take the Senate, I don't quite see how they're going to be able to pass tax increases on families making more than $400,000. So there's a lot in there, but going from idea to law is contingent upon Democrats winning the Senate, which is far from certain at this point.
There's a lot of uncertainty, but one thing we do know is it's going to be a tough economy, whoever comes in January. What do we know about what kind of economy the next president or the current president, if he gets another term, will inherit?
Well, so I think at the beginning of this recovery, there was a lot of debate about what the letter of the recovery was going to be. Was it going to be a slow U-shaped recovery, a sharp V-shaped recovery, an L recovery where there really is no swing back? And the letter that economists seem to have settled on is K, a sharp recovery for the haves, especially those who can work remotely, and a really, really difficult economy for everybody else. So I think that what's the next few months are contingent on whether or not we see a decline in the number of COVID cases in the U.S. You're going to be able to have restaurants and maybe even movie theaters start to come back if you break outbreaks in certain areas. But as long as there's still a live outbreak, it's hard to see things going back to normal.
Derek Thompson, staff writer at The Atlantic. Thanks as always.
Thank you.